This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Sal, 11:02 back on the Fantasy Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. We'll do a little Knicks coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. I mean, how am I supposed to react with these Knicks? They win, and yeah, I'm certainly appreciative of the win, but it was supposed to be fired up. I mean, you got to get bailed out by Jalen Brunson against Philly without Embiid? Whoa, what an amazing night. No, it was borderline embarrassing. But Ian Begley will join me at 12:40. And when's Mitchell getting back? The overall health of the Knicks, the pressure on Tom Thibodeau to turn this thing around, what they might do, if anything, maybe change the starting five. We'll do that in a little bit. You know what's funny, too? And when we get back to these calls, Jets and Giants, quarterback stuff, a lot of draft stuff, combines obviously going on. So I don't know if you guys, it was a late game, but the one thing about the new Big East Conference that I can't stand is, you know, like these 9 o'clock games at DePaul, at Creighton, at Butler. Because really, 9 o'clock doesn't even mean 9. Because there's a game before it, and even last night, you know, all right, you see on the little scroll there on CBS Sports Network, suddenly 9:12. And it's like, yeah, it's a late night. I mean, that's fine if you love St. John's, like, you know, like many of us do. It's just a late night. But last night, so I don't think you saw this. You may have heard it. Jerry played it during his updates. Rothstein, who was doing the sideline stuff for the network last night, interviewed Rick after the game. And John's like, you know, hey, it's his share of the Big East title. And Rick, and it was, and he kind of changed the tone at the end to soften it up. I think maybe in his mind, he's like, do I sound too arrogant? But who cares? He's like, I'm not here to share anything. He's like, that sharing means nothing. We're here to win the championship and share it with nobody. And then he's like, yeah, listen, I love Creighton. I love their coach. And that's where he softened it up. But he's like, and I'm okay with sharing a lot of things, but sharing a championship is not one of them. So that's what St. John's has done. And the crazy thing is that I just had to look this up. I knew every name. I just want to make sure I wasn't off by a year. Just to put it in a little perspective, the last time St. John's won the Big East regular season, and right now, again, it's a co-share, and then, you know, beat Seton Hall over the weekend, and then it's a full share. Listen to these names, dude. Now, you're a couple of years younger than me, but you'll know them all. 1991, the Yankees manager. 91-92 was when St. John's shared that title. The manager for the Yankees, you ready? Not exactly Bruce's glory days. Stump Merrill was the manager for the Yankees back. That was wretched stuff. In 1991, the New York Mets, they had two. One was Buddy Harrelson, a great Met. And the other was the interim Mike Cubbage, all right, who bounced around a little bit, base coach. Remember, Mike? The 1991 Knicks. This is obviously before Pat Riley, right before him, pretty much. The head coach was John McLeod. In 91, the Nets head coach was Bill Fitch. In 91-92, the Jets had Bruce Coslett. And in 91-92, you ready, Giant fans? Glory days for you. Ray Hanley was the head coach of your football team. It's how long ago it's been. And to even personalize it for the station, WFAN was, what, 4 years old? It's nuts. And then I even went to the Big East standings because obviously there's been a lot of different iterations over the years. You know, we all know the teams that have been around forever, the Johnnies, Seton Hall, the Hoyas, Providence, Nova, UConn joined a couple of years after that, Syracuse. But Syracuse was obviously still there. So was Pitt. Boston College. I mean, Boston College has been gone for a minute. And that was the year where things started getting wacky. And that was Miami. University of Miami was actually in the Big East at that point. And then eventually it branched out to, like, you know, South Florida. What the hell are we doing? But just a really, not a great game per se. They didn't play particularly well. But I think there's more value, personally. And you don't want to have to go through this every night, but let's say they would have just rolled Butler. Let's say Butler had no interest in playing, and Butler was fired up, and Butler played hard. And I don't think St. John's played as hard until they had to, as they usually do. And that's something you can't say about this team, which is why they're so easy to love. I thought Butler played harder for chunks of that game. They're just not as good. But, like, if St. John's would have had, you know, a regular St. John's performance and they would have smacked Butler, you know, let's say they win by 25 like they did it to Paul a few weeks ago. Where's the value there? Instead of, outside of bagging a win, obviously. But to me, the fact that, you know, it's another game of executing down the stretch, on the road, you know, a little pressure there. You're 7 in the country. If they would have lost that game, a 3 seed completely off, no chance, even if they win the Big East tournament. 3 seed, 1,000% off the table. So it was the kind of win that can only hurt you, not going to really help you. I think they jumped up. I think they went from 20 to 18 in the net rankings, which is a fairly important metric, although it didn't matter last year when St. John's got screwed and didn't make the tournament. But I cannot wait until Saturday at the Garden, and it should be another sellout. Not yet, but it's going to be back-to-back-to-back sellouts, and I don't know when that's ever happened. It's never happened since I've been doing the games, and I've been with John since 2003-04. I've never seen that. 3 straight at the Garden? So there you go. Win number 25. And there's symbolism to that. 25, and who knows? Maybe you mess around. Maybe you get to 30. 888-808-1019 is the number. It's BT and Sound on the Fan. Vinny's in Brooklyn. Back to the Jets and Giants stuff. Little Johnny's if you want as well. Vinny, what's cooking? Vinny.
How you doing, BT?
Yes.
BT, you there?
Yes, sir. What's going on, dude?
Hey, what's up, man? All right. And listen, I called you like 2 weeks ago about jumping the draft order as far as the Jets. Now, as we go closer to the draft, I got to believe there's got to be some type of way that they could do if they wanted to, right? I mean, is it logical they could use a young quarterback and maybe could they get Fields and jump the draft?
Yeah, I think that that's plausible. Sure, 100%. There's no doubt they could do that.
I mean, if this organization, as far as the new Glenn. If they wanted to make a real stand on how they project this team going,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't that be a big splash? Maybe grabbing Fields for a couple of years and then getting a rookie out of the draft.
I mean, maybe I'll tell you what. Jump? Yeah, Kevin, that would invigorate Jet fans so much. And really, you think about the Giants as well. Like, but yeah, I know your questions about the Jets. I agree. Like, there are scenarios. Granted, there's not many. But there are scenarios where both of our teams could have a starter this year who's fairly dynamic and could be even better, like Justin Fields. But also, you know, we could see one of these kids putting on those lids when they walk across the stage as, you know, the first, second, or third pick overall, and it's Cam Ward or Sanders, which obviously excites us all for the future. So, yeah, I think that's a really good point. I don't think it just has to be, you know, Tyrod Taylor is the backup and Justin Fields is the starter, or Justin Fields with the starter for the Giants. And, yeah, I don't think they'd go into the season with DeVito, with all due respect, as a number two. Yeah, I think you could probably satisfy both. You could try. Let me get Corey in Massapequa Park. Corey, what's going on?
Hey, BT, how you doing?
I am good. What's up, man?
Hey, before we get off, I need your opinion on something. But, two points just regarding Giants and quarterback. You know, I feel like I've been hearing a lot about Giants when we look at, you know, all of our options that we need a scrambling quarterback or someone that can move because of the offensive line. I think that's a little overweighted in that, in the sense that, like, obviously the sack numbers were pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at, like, some of the PPF rankings, I know you can get really into the analytics. a lot of times that would actually come back to the quarterback, you know, holding the ball too much. And so I'm kind of old school when it comes to quarterbacks. Obviously, you need runners and people that can move, but I still think decision-making is the best, so I don't want to limit our pool of who we're looking at for these numbers that I think are a little inflated from just bad kind of, you know, quarterback play.
Yep.
The second point when it comes to the draft, I just don't want the Giants to overreach. Let's say they're in a position where they want, or they can get Cam or Shador.
Yep.
Yeah, if it's not in their heart, if they don't think that's the best fit, I know obviously we need a quarterback. I'm a lifelong Giants fan. I'm still thinking 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the line.
Oh, God.
You get the
years,
best player.
Jesus.
I know.
It's tough.
What my point is, you get.
I know what you mean.
You get the best player available.
Yep.
And it's a conundrum, man. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm happy I'm not making those decisions, but those are just my 2 points in keeping the pool open.
Okay. I got you. What was your other thing? What'd you want to hit me with?
Hey, so I'm a college lacrosse player. I was. A bunch of buddies that I work with are college baseball players.
Mm-hmm.
We have this debate once a month, once a quarter. Who is the better athlete, the baseball player or the lacrosse player?
Lacrosse.
Thank you, by the way.
Lacrosse.
Any
lacrosse.
Details, anything bad?
That's lacrosse. Yeah, that's an easy one. Now, the game of baseball's changed quite a bit. Like, how did it come up? Were we talking softball? Remember we did that charity softball, not this past summer, the summer before. Craig's a bit when Craig was still here, and me and Teak were out there. McPherson was out there. Sal was out there. Evan was out. Actually, most of us were out there. C-Mac was out there. And I think we're having some fun on the air, like, you know, who's really an athlete? I was a baseball player. I wasn't an athlete. I mean, that like... to me, somebody like McPherson, that's an athlete. That's a kid, a young man, or back then a kid, who was a dual quarterback, you know, who ran. And I don't know Keith's 40 time. If I had to guess, I'm sure he could text me it, or I could text him. 4.5? I mean, I bet you it was good. It also depends on what kind of athlete you are. Like, you know, I've looked at some of Volpe's younger numbers when he was playing perfect game and what he ran the 60, and Volpe flew. Volpe was like 6'6", 60. I mean, that is a legitimate time. Somebody like DJ LeMahieu, even when he was at LSU and coming up as a 6'4 second baseman, a good baseball player, not an elite athlete. So, I mean, I gave you a quick answer. It's a generalization. I would say lacrosse because it's more combination, obviously, strength. There's just different levels of physical engagement. There's quickness, and yeah, I'd say lacrosse, begrudgingly. 888-808-1019 is the number. Now, the other thing that he said, I want to get back to this. So, he said, if it's not in the Giants' heart, don't reach. I agree. Same with the Jets. Do not reach. The problem with that is, we never really find out what was truly in their heart. Like, unless it's a longtime executive, like Ernie Accorsi, you know, you write a book, and then you get some real stuff. You know, like 20, 30, 40 years later. I don't know. Did the Jets, did they love Zach Wilson at two? Did the Giants love Daniel Jones at six? I don't know. I mean, I know they drafted him. And there's a difference between loving and liking. You can like somebody and have a need. And it's almost like, yeah, we got to do it. We got to find a quarterback. We got to find somebody to replace Eli. Boy, we know he's not quite Eli. He's different than Eli, but yeah, he's not Eli, but we like him and we think we can. Versus, this kid is the real deal. We got to trade up for him. There's no doubt. This kid's ours. This kid is a franchise changer, franchise elevator. You never really know because there's varying degrees of interest. It could be tepid and it could be all in, and he could still draft the same kid. Yeah, and but I will say this, like philosophically, I am even with both teams now. You know, both teams need quarterbacks. And I love Cam over Sanders. But I am firmly of the mindset, both teams, if you don't love these kids, pass. Figure it out down the road and then draft a superstar. I would much rather walk away with a future All-Pro at DN, D-tackle, corner, linebacker, tight end, offensive tackle, whatever, and basically anything but a quarterback, receiver. You know, draft, Giants aren't taking a receiver again at 3, but you know what I mean. Draft the kid that you just see as somebody that is going to be one of the best in the NFL if he stays healthy and he stays on, you know, he doesn't get sidetracked with some off-the-field stuff. Rather than saying, yeah, we like this kid, and if we do that to him, and if he changes this, and, you know, if he's really diligent in the weight room and he puts on, I'm just throwing, not even specific to the two quarterbacks that we talk about the most, but why is he a little thin like Zach's a little, Zach's legs were thin, you know? Yeah, if we get him in the weight room, we get his lower base a little thicker, a little stronger, he could work. No, it shouldn't be that hard. You shouldn't need 5 ifs or 4 contingencies. You just shouldn't. 888-808-1019 is the numbers. BT and Sal here on the fan. We get Dave out east on Long Island. Davey, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
What's
up? I'm a big Buckeyes fan, so he goes 12-1 with the Buckeyes. Then my son gets into Syracuse. He goes 9-3, breaks every single record.
You talking about McCord?
Football. Why is he not being talked about? And even if you take him, you get Justin Fields first, then you get Garrett Wilson, you have the whole Ohio State Buckeyes.
Uh-huh.
Why is no one talking about him? And you get him 3rd round.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no one's talking about him.
I mean, I know who Kyle McCord is. I mean, just I'm not going to open a show with Kyle McCord. I like him. What do you think is his biggest weakness? I'm going to give you a reason maybe why some people aren't talking about him as much as you would like.
Not very mobile.
There you go. Do you know what he runs a 40 in?
No.
I do. Almost a 5.
Kyle McCord.
I mean, that's slow.
That's horrible.
That's bad.
That is bad.
That's actually terrible. And thanks for the call. And McCord could play. I do like him. I like him a lot. I like his story. I like his makeup. I think he could throw it. And I'm not saying I wouldn't draft him, but it's... It's going to be 2025 season. You got to move a little bit. And you say, well, and I guess I shouldn't assume all of you, I mean, many of you do, but if you're running basically a 5 flat, I believe his best time was 4.96, which, you know, as you get older, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. What do you think Eli ran? Hoff, this kid, I don't even know if you know much about McCord. I just explained some stuff about him. But if McCord ran a 5 flat, and he's thought to be slow, which is slow, and Eli, who was always thought to be fairly non-athletic, what do you think Eli ran the 40 at? Just to compare the two. So for those who don't know McCord, what do you think?
I'm assuming he probably ran close to 5.
Yeah, but can you be a little more specific?
5.1.
Oh, God, 5.1, no. 4.92, which seems like it's not that, but you're talking 0.08 of a second. As you know this, JD's going through this, you know, playing baseball. It matters. 0.1 of a second could be whether you're a second or a first round pick. No, I don't mean him. Like, I mean, like a speed position. He's not quite fast enough as a corner. Does it translate to Sundays? Like 0.1 of a second, 0.2. It matters. I like him. I wish he had just a little wiggle. He is stuck in stone. Let me get Jake and Edison, BT and Sound on the fan. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Brandon. How are you?
Good.
So I actually. Here's my point about why I think Rodgers and the Giants is a good option. And hear me out for a second. Shane and Dable are in year 4. Shane and Dable, if they win 4 or 5 games this year, probably have no shot at retaining their jobs.
Unless they drafted a stud and that stud quarterback looked good. But otherwise, I totally agree. Yes.
So I kind of agree, right? If their stud looks like an absolute stud, they probably wouldn't have won 3 or 4 games. But say they draft a quarterback. And we're, you know, kind of on the fence, maybe leaning that the guy's going to be good, but not necessarily a stud. Mm-hmm. And they win 3-4 games.
Yeah.
Then what? They get fired. You bring in a new regime. They don't want a guy. They don't want the quarterback that was drafted by the prior regime. And you kind of wasted a top 5 pick on a quarterback, which we all know is something that's going to set a franchise back 3-4 years.
Yeah.
So I think you draft the quarterback at 3. I'm hoping it's Ward. I think he's a better quarterback than Sanders, as you do.
Yep.
You bring in a guy like Rodgers just to show the team that, hey, with a competent quarterback play, now we're not expecting Rodgers to be great, but competent quarterback play, you win 7-8 games, Shane and Dable keep the job, now you have a quarterback for the future as opposed to drafting a quarterback, winning 3-4 games, and having to start over with a whole new regime. So it's not because Rodgers is the best option.
I understand what you're saying, Jake. And by the way, Jake, I think it makes some sense, but if that's the case, why not just get somebody like Justin Fields who plays more like those players?
Because Justin Fields, I think, is less of a sure thing to win you 7-8 games if he plays well.
He's going
to
be cheaper. He'll be cheaper than Rodgers.
I don't know. You think Rodgers costs a lot? I really don't. I really don't think Rodgers is going to cost a lot of money.
No, not a lot. I don't think he's going to cost a lot. I don't think Fields will cost a lot, but I think it's going to be comparable. So if it's going to be in the same neighborhood, go with the guy stylistically who kind of fits the player that you just drafted.
So again, if I believe that Fields can give me 7-8 wins, like, you know, as a shoe-in, then I'd agree with you. Uh-huh. But I feel much more confident that Rodgers gives you 7-8 wins, which will allow for Shane Dable to stay on and then build around the quarterback that they draft at 3 this year, as opposed to starting over with a new regime. So that's why I think it's just long term, I think it does make sense to go after a guy like Rodgers.
That's a good call there, Jake. Thanks for making it. The only thing that I would say, and I get this a lot, I hear this a lot. And a lot of times it actually applies, but it doesn't have to apply. So what Jake is saying about, you know, drafted a quarterback top five, if it doesn't work out, then obviously everybody's gone with the Giants that are currently employed, at least in terms of the marquee spots, head coach, general manager. And now how unappealing is it for a new GM, new coach to come in and take over for a quarterback that they might not like? That you are severely diluting the talent pool. That's true. But that's why you have to run a very transparent operation, because there might be somebody out there that does like the player. Like it wouldn't be like, let's say they draft Sanders. I'll just use Sanders. Let's say they go 4-13, which, you know, I mean, I don't think there are 4 wins. I think they're going to be they'll be better than that, but not much, I guess. But, well, I guess anything's possible. They are still a ways away. Let's say they're 4-13 and everybody's fired and you have 7 or 8 head coach candidates. It's the Giants, so it's going to be fairly appealing. I promise you, it's not going to be 0-9 on coaches that you would be, I don't mean anybody that would just, oh yeah, I want to be a coach for the first time. Coaches that you value, both their input and the possible thought of employing them as your coach, somebody's going to like him. I guarantee it. Somebody's going to say, yo, I liked him too. Maybe, you know, you point out to the O-line or the way he was used or whatever. So it wouldn't mean necessarily that it's completely unappealing, but it could, again, it could dilute that base of potential coaching options. 11:22 on the Fan. It's BT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal the Cotter Show. Ian Begley coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. What is up with those Knicks? We got a little Yankee tickets for you and a list of the 10 biggest New York's.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Sports stars right now. Got an issue with a few. BT and Sal on the Fan. Monster, the son of my bed. 11:29, back on the Fan. It's Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. BT and Sal on this Thursday. Yeah, I mean, time's moving, baby. It is not quite yet at the point with the baseball teams where, not that I don't check them every day, but I don't know if there's great urgency looking at the lineups. You know, we're almost there. Because you still see both teams, you know, bottom third, bunch of names you know that won't make the big league team out of spring training. But before you know it, I mean, March is this weekend, and it's St. Paddy's Day, and it's on. And I think this is going to be a wild baseball season. And both teams are set up to be good. Both teams have questions. Both fan bases are a little on edge for different reasons. It's be a wild, wild ride. And it could take us, that's the point of this show here, at least to start, and we'll do some Knicks later. If the Jets and the Giants handle business here at the quarterback spot in the next couple of weeks, months, then, you know, this baseball season could blend very seamlessly into, hopefully for the Giants, a competitive season. And, you know, for the Jets, a winning season. 888-808-1019, the number. They gave Rob in Gladstone, New Jersey. What's happening, Robbie?
Hey, how are you, BT? Thanks for taking the call. Listen, I just want to weigh in about this whole Justin Fields thing. I think this kid is the thing. I mean, for the Giants, it's up to Dable to coach up the quarterback. I'm not in love with Ward or Sanders. Carter's not going to be there. They got to take. Yeah, I'd say sign Fields, trade back, get the, you know, accumulate some draft picks. What are your thoughts?
I've said that for a couple of days here. Yeah, I mean, listen, my thoughts on the Jets and the Giants aren't exactly the same, and I know that you're asking about the Giants, obviously, but I'll just show you the differences. Like to me, like the Giants. I mean, the Giants must more than the Jets, even though the Jets need it as well. But based on the roster, whatever, like the Giants, how do you not go into training camp or, you know, off-season workouts with a first-round quarterback, even if it's in the 20s. And that's why I think trading out is a possibility for the Giants here, whether it's Jackson Dart, you know all the names, whatever. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, both teams could do, when you come down to it, really, really the same things, but I don't think that they are as married to those same things. And what I mean by that is, you know, from the Jets' perspective, you could obviously stay put at 7, see how the quarterback market develops from a draft perspective. You can see what happens. Now, you got to worry about some teams behind you, the Raiders in front of you with 6. Like, there's a lot of things that are going to complicate your world, but you could stay put, you can move up, you could trade back. Now, of course, the Giants could literally do the same thing. They could stay put at 3, they can move up, they could trade back, but of those 3 for the Giants, I think trading back, unless they love the quarterback, then of course you move up and you do it, and hopefully you're rewarded by that move like the Giants were with Eli. But, you know, trading back, I just think the Giants need more young, dynamic, cheap players. You know, and the Jets need a few more, but the Jets have more. So, yeah, there's 3 options. But I think the Giants, it's a little bit of a different focus. Mario's in Middletown. What's up, Mario?
Hey, BT, how you doing today?
Good. How you feeling?
Good, thanks. First time, long time. Love your show. I love your insight. I just wanted to talk about the Giant quarterback situation.
Yeah.
Pretty much what you've been saying. Me personally, I wouldn't trade back because what you had said earlier is true. You need to pick a stud at three. So I would either, if I could get my hands on Fields, he would be my first choice, only because I don't want to give draft capital away for Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, honestly, I would take Aaron Rodgers if I had to have some wins as a coach, because he is on the hot seat.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of different ways you got to look at this, and obviously I wanted to hear your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I gave him before. I don't know when you tuned in. You know, I'm not saying, listen, I think Aaron could still play. And that's why I wanted the Jets to keep him, but I'm on board with their decision. You know, maybe not what I would have done, but if I think he can still play, then I've got to be consistent. If I think he can still play for the Jets, then why don't I think that could transfer to the Giants? I do, but I don't know. I admit it's not even the most intelligent answer. It's just I think the Giants have the Jets just need to do something different at this point. You get to repackage, recycle Aaron Rodgers in the same stadium? See, part of the problem here is, or at least the evaluation, and if you don't do it properly, it's definitely a problem, to be more specific. You've got to, I promise you, that this is happening now. To what degree, I don't know. To what accuracy, there's no way to know. But I promise you that the Jets and the Giants, every team, but our teams are absolutely, not only looking at 2025, they're already also incorporating their thoughts on 2026 and how that will impact the quarterback market pertaining to the draft. You have to do that. Now, I barely want to get in the weeds on, you know, left tackles outside of the top 10 in the 2025 draft. I want to start doing this in the 2026 draft, but I will do it for the quarterbacks for a moment, right? So I know you saw the other day, I think it was yesterday, that Mickey Loomis said, Saints, Derek Carr, he's going to be our guy. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that the Saints can't mess around at 9 and take a quarterback, but if they don't, they're not going to be good with Derek Carr. They will absolutely be quarterback hunting next season. Number one, do you think the Tennessee Titans are taking a quarterback this year? I don't. So if that's the case, and Tennessee's going to be bad again this year, they will be hunting a quarterback next year. That's two teams. Let's see. I don't think the Patriots, I just have a mock-up, so I don't agree with everything that they have, so I'm kind of navigating this in real time. But I do agree the Patriots won't be incredibly good this year, but they're not looking for a quarterback next year, or obviously this year. I don't know, are the Browns going to take a quarterback this year? I think that they're a little more likely than the Titans are, but not fully married to it like the Giants, unless they get Stafford, seem to be. So the Browns are a team that you've got to factor in for the 2026 draft quarterback stuff. I don't think the Vikings will be fifth overall. What are they doing there? Fifth? And they trading there? Whatever. I won't get too weedsy. But the Vikings, no. Cardinals, no. Bears, no. Panthers, probably not, unless that little, you know, flicker from Bryce Young this year appears to be fool's gold, which I don't necessarily think it is. But if it is, and he comes back down to earth, Carolina's going to be looking for a quarterback next year. If the Jets don't draft the quarterback this year, Jets will be looking for one. You know, so there's going to be, hell, if the Dallas Cowboys have a rough year, you know, maybe they say the money, and I don't even know what it would mean for the cap and the dead money. Could you trade him, cut him, whatever? And maybe they make a decision. All right, let's move on from Dak. He's 31. Let's draft somebody. The point is, next year is going to be, I think even there's going to be more teams vying for quarterbacks next year. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is there's more, I think there's an abundance of good quarterbacks next year compared to this year. But now you got to just navigate more teams, which is obviously not easy. So it's a tough call, man. Back with you on the fan. It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata. It's the BT and Sal show. My Sal healing up with the eye patch and a couple of surf sides. I'm sure a little Disney hangover as well. 888-808-1019. You know, the NFL draft, boy, it's fun. It really is. It's fun. But, like, think about it from their perspective. Yeah, listen, you're getting paid well to do it. It's a tough navigation. Like, to me, the NBA draft is fairly simple. I mean, it really is. I mean, if you have a top 10 pick and you can't at least get somebody serviceable, yeah, but you are awful. I think that's, not that you can't still make the wrong pick, but you shouldn't pick a complete stiff. I mean, there's situations in the NFL where these guys are nowhere near hitting. Their hit rate is a disaster. And then you look at Major League Baseball. I think that's by far the toughest. I can't speak to hockey, but obviously with the juniors and the younger kids, it's more of a projection. You know, how much bigger are they going to get, stronger, whatever. Same with baseball. But I feel like in baseball, the rules just change. Like, you know, you're a youth, what is it, the minors? Like, not I mean the minor leagues. What is the, what is the highest level, juniors? That's what I was looking for. If you're a stud junior hockey player, I mean, to my knowledge, you're gonna get to the NHL or the minor leagues, and you're gonna use the same exact equipment. If you're a first baseman from Texas or from Alabama, 6'5", 225 lefty, well, guess what? You might be getting drafted fifth overall, but you ain't hitting with metal, which you are in high school, using wood. And to me, like, that's the hardest evaluation. That's why a lot of scouts, if you're still doing this, you're a dinosaur. But, you know, a lot of the scouts used to kind of close their eyes and just listen to the crack, because there's something to be, like, there's just a different sound when you're, you know, really inside the ball and really barrel it up versus, you know, kind of using the energy and the force of a metal bat to do a lot of the work for you. So it is hard. We make it seem like it's simple. I think the NBA is fairly easy, maybe a little different with the European market, whatever. And there are a lot of young kids who enter the NBA. So they also try to project physical development a couple of years down the road. But football, oh my God, football and baseball seems like it's impossible with certain stuff. Let me get Billy in White Plains. We'll back to you. We'll do some Knicks next hour. Bill, what's up? Bill, you ready to go? All right, Bill's not ready. How about Ed in Marlboro? What's up, Eddie?
How you doing, buddy? Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Ed, it's my pleasure. What's up?
I'm a little concerned with the Giants and their quarterback situation. I know you've talked about it before. But I don't think either of those quarterbacks, I mean, I think the kid from Miami maybe, but Sanders is just not, I don't think he's going to be a good fit for the Giants at all.
All right, now Ed, hold on a second. Now, I ask this, and I come in peace. I'm not trying to play you. I'm not trying to mock you. I'm not doing that here. So you say he's not
okay.
Right. You say he's not right for the Giants. I don't love him either. Why don't you like him? Hey, have you watched him play?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I have watched him at Colorado.
Go ahead.
And I think he makes some poor decisions. He also doesn't have the speed or the athletic ability of a quarterback like, say, Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have that.
I know he doesn't.
I don't see it.
I know. Hey, you know what? I just wanted to make sure we're talking about the same kid. And you're right, because those are my reservations as well. Decision making. I don't think he's a great athlete. Imagine saying that about Deion's son. I mean, he's obviously a good athlete, but I mean, like, relative to these quarterbacks and the speed and the direction of the game, he's good. He's not an uber athlete, not a special athlete. He's not. That's crazy. Deion's son, you know, slightly above average speed. And I think that and those are the reasons that concern me. Not because he's Deion's son. Which I think actually weighs down some of your analysis. I don't mean you, Ed. You know, he's entitled. You know, he's going to be a distraction. Is he all about football? I would think that Shador, even though I don't love him, but Shador Sanders is more about football than probably most of the kids in the draft at any position, because he's been breathing it since the day he came out of the womb because of his dad. Just think about the high-level conversations he's had in the car ride with his dad. Coming back from, you know, playing flag football. This doesn't mean he's going to be a good pro, but I think it's unfair to the young man. Not many of you, but I still think there's a little bias or a little hesitation. Deion's son, not everybody loves the flash or the cockiness that Deion, you know, rolls with, which I get to an extent. But Deion was all ball. Just imagine like a 9-year-old Shador Sanders coming back, and I say flag because, you know, in Texas, some of the warmer states, you're not necessarily putting on the pads at a younger age, concussions, more about passing concepts. I've got a lot of my wife's from Dallas, as you know, got a lot of friends out there in Dallas who, you know, her friends and husbands and their kids that play very high level everything. And they're going shotgun at the age of 7, but they're doing like 7-on-7s and they're not hitting yet. So that's why I say flag for Shador. So he's in the car with Shador. Think about the next level conversation that Shador Sanders and Deion are having about, hey, what'd you see on this read? What'd you see with the safety over here? I don't even know if there's a safety with 7 kids, but you know what I mean. Probably a little deeper than the conversation that I have with my son, who also plays quarterback, you know? I'm just going to take a guess, you know? 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sound on the Fan. Mike is in Massapequa. Well, Mikey, what's going on, Mike?
Hey, BT, thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
I feel the same way the last guy just said, and what I'm thinking is, why don't the Giants sign a quarterback, give that quarterback a contract, kind of like what they did with the last guy, where they're locked in for 2 years and they can get out, and trade back in the draft.
Okay.
That way, next year, you're going into that draft with 2 first-rounders.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if, say, Manning is coming out, mm-hmm. which you just were saying about the conversations Sanders is having.
Yeah.
Imagine the conversations the Mannings are having.
Yeah, I hear you.
And if this kid does come out, let's get in the back room and have the Mannings manipulate the draft.
Mm-hmm.
We almost say there's a team that has the first-round pick. The Giants have 2, and they say, oh, we're not going to sign with you. His kid can go back to school, so make the trade with the Giants, and they go into that draft with real draft capital, and don't just get a first round quarterback, get the right one.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, when you look at quarterbacks that are drafted, sometimes there's some guy that surprises you, but the special ones, you know, they're special.
Yep.
And when I watch Deion's kid play, I'm sure there's a chance he'll be very good. But he doesn't explode off the screen. Like when he throws the ball.
I agree.
It's a good throw, but it's not electric.
I agree.
And I don't want to have a first round quarterback. I want the right quarterback. I want somebody that you can hang your hat on for the next 15 years.
I think you made really good points.
And if you get the wrong guy, it's a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yeah. The only thing that I would want you to finish for me here, because you started, you know, it's a concept, which I appreciate, and I think it's a good concept, but give me a tangible name at least for this year, because you didn't do that. Who do you want them to sign?
Okay. I mean, I would love the kid from who's with the Vikings. They're not going to keep him.
But you're talking about Al McCarthy?
If you can give... No, who played quarterback
Sam,
for them?
Sam What's Darnold?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're not, I don't what think they if, give him that money. Give, yeah.
Well, what if you give him 4 years, 2 are locked in, and then you can get out of it in 2 years?
I think he's going to get better than
and
that.
And you pay him.
I don't think that's going to work, Mike. I think you raise a – I think that's a good call. Good job, Mike. But you're not getting Sam Darnold 2 years. I understand, you know, the way the Giants structured things with Daniel Jones, but Daniel Jones never put up the season that Sam Darnold just put up. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm running to the altar looking to marry the guy, but you're not dating him for 2 years and then getting out without it being, you know, a little bit more punitive. And he's going to get better than that. Let me just look at something here. So, all right. So this is the 20. I've got the 20, and I don't care about stats. I'm just looking at names. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody here. So the 2024 NFL passing postseason stats. All right. We'll go off memory, but I would think that I would know, if not all these, certainly most of them. All right. Jaden Daniels, top 3 pick. Jalen Hurts, 2nd-round pick. Mahomes just outside of the top 10. Josh Allen, top 10 pick. Stafford, number 1. C.J. Stroud, top of the draft. Lamar, 32nd overall. Jared Goff, 1st overall. So we got Russell Wilson right now as the first outlier. Darnold, 3rd overall pick. Herbert, what was Justin, 6 or 7? What was it, 7? 6? Whatever he was. First round, obviously. Jordan Love, late-ish, but first round. Baker Mayfield, early first round. Bo Nix, a little later in the first. Then you have a couple of the running backs and punters throwing passes. Oh, man. Teddy Bridgewater was a first-round pick, right? Was he late first? I think he was. Yeah, he was late first. Kenny Pickett, Justin Fields, first round, and there you go. So with the exception of Russ, who was a middle-round pick, Knicks, who was a little late-ish, and there was one more. Who was the other one that I had? Everybody is basically exclusively a top five or top six pick. What does it tell you? It doesn't tell you that that's exactly what you need, but it's certainly a roadmap to finding what you do need, usually. All right, 888-808-1019 is the number. It's BT and Sound on the Fan. Coming up next hour, Yankee tickets. Not a big baseball day today, but I'll squeeze in a couple of Yankee and Met thoughts. But I want to get into the Knicks coming up. All right, get to the Knicks, get back to St. John's as well. Big picture for St. John's. But the New York Knicks, we'll have an interview, chat with Ian Begley coming up, but I want to get some thoughts of my own, so we'll do that. And we're going to power up as well. And, you know, I've got to shoot out to Queens to tape the Red Storm report today. And I've got my my red, white, and black Nike Dunks that I wear when I do St. John's Games radio or when I shoot the TV show. Anyway, they're up on the console here in the studio, and Hoff's like, yo, those are dope. And we were talking about sneakers. I'm like, you know what? Powering up today, we're doing my top five sneakers of all time. An old head with the sneakers, but I got a couple new ones in there as well. So we'll do that. BT and Sal right here on The Fan.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.